Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Now, today we have got a branding expert with us, and I'd like to introduce Jeannie Treloar. Have I pronounced that correctly?
Yes, yeah, you have.
Very
well done.
Good. And Jeannie is from Sassy Branding. So this is something that's obviously going to be very important for anybody either starting in business, or I know sometimes down the track of your having been in business for a while, you start to think that what you originally thought was your business name and brand isn't quite right. So you rebranding, I suppose, is just as that crucial factor of getting it right.
Yes.
The second time, if you didn't quite get it right the first time. So Jeannie is the owner and creator of Sassy Branding. Love the name, by the way. It's very cool.
It's catchy.
It's a it certainly is. A boutique graphic design studio based in Brisbane. It specializes in creating a complete visual brand for entrepreneurial business owners, speakers, and authors. So by designing and combining a unique selection of elements, including your logo, fonts, colors, image, backgrounds, and photographs, Jeannie and her team work closely with their clients to create a strong, memorable, and consistent brand in all printed and online marketing material. Cool. I've seen your car. Certainly. You haven't got cars in there.
Oh, no. I must put that on the list.
Yes. This includes the design of a logo, website, business cards, brochure, social media, branding, and cars, and anything else that displays the business brand. And I just have to note, I pulled into a car park the other day and I knew you were there because of the branding on your vehicle. So it's an interesting business to get into, and I imagine it just hasn't happened overnight. So please tell me about what got you interested and why you do what you do, Jeannie.
Okay. Thank you very much, Janine, for having me here today. It is an interesting business, and I guess I'm basically a graphic designer. So I've been in advertising and promotion and design all my life. When I first left school, I was working in Myer as a window dresser. So I spent quite a few years running up and down ladders and carrying mannequins around and decorating Christmas trees and that kind of thing. So I got a lot of insight into advertising and consumer psychology and how things attract people. After working with Myer and throughout Australia for a few years, I ended up in Toowoomba and stopped working and had babies. And while I was at home with my babies, I was doing things like folk art and calligraphy, and I also had a mannequin hire business with my dad.
It's quite unique.
Yeah, kids loved it. They used to like wearing the wigs and, you know, carrying around arms and legs.
Yes.
But I got interested in computers. So I always vowed and declared that when I turned 40, I'd go to uni. I had no idea what I was going to study. But my youngest finally went off to school. So after I drank some champagne and celebrated, hooray.
We do love our children, but we do love them when they're out there all day.
I think that was one of the best days of my life because I'd been at home with babies for about 8 years. So it was a long haul. And I'm not one to just sit around and do the mum thing. I need to be busy. So I went to the uni and I knocked on the door and said, what can I do that involves computers and art? Because I wanted to be creative, but I really loved the computer. And they said to me, well, you can be a graphic designer and study graphic design. And I went, what's that? So that's what I ended up doing. And I started uni at 38 and was there for 4 years because I did some of it part-time while my kids were at school. From there, I got work in local studios. By now, we were living on the Sunshine Coast. And so I worked in design studios on the coast for about 7 years, just learning and, you know, figuring it out and listening to people. And I saw a massive gap in the market for small business owners who were looking to brand but didn't really understand how that worked. Websites were very new back then and not everybody had one and not everybody realised they would need one.
Sorry, I'm just thinking the people that were listening to this would be, that must have been about 70, 80 years ago or something. No, truly, they haven't been around that long.
No, they really haven't. Not for small business.
No.
You know, for people like you and I, a website wasn't something that was a priority back then, but it was starting to come into people's awareness. And I saw a lot of people struggling with understanding how that can work for them and how it would be good for marketing and creating a brand and how to promote their business and all that sort of stuff. So I started my business with those people in mind because I wanted to offer something that would actually help particularly women who maybe are starting a business they've been wanting to do for a really long time and didn't really have a whole lot of money to invest, like thousands and thousands of dollars, which was what big corporates pay for logos and branding. So they were my target market. I wanted to help those people and I wanted to help them understand how that visual brand is so important to connecting with people and why you need to be consistent. So that was why I started it, and it was a fire in my belly, I guess. The other reason I started was because I job hopped. I've never been very good at holding a job for a long time. I was always looking for the perfect job, the next great thing. And I've been in my business now for 5.5 years, and that's the longest time I've done anything.
And have you got found a good boss? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's awesome. She lets me sleep late, go out. I can work Sundays and not Thursdays. She's great. Yeah, I love her.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you hearing us? Everybody who's listening. The benefits of working for yourself, isn't it?
It's great. And I think it's having that, I wouldn't say freedom, because you're actually committed a whole lot more hours and a whole lot more time and a whole lot more headspace when you're in business for yourself. But freedom of choice is what I love.
Mm.
So, yeah.
And, you know, you've come into business from the parenting stage and coming into your own business, getting the skills and honing them and then coming into your own business. And a lot of people that are listening to these podcasts have done exactly the same. Some people have come out of corporate and gone, thank you, I've done that long enough, and gone into their own business as well. So it doesn't really matter where anyone's coming from. It's understanding that you're in that space now and you know, deciding where you're going from there and how to get that next step in your business and who your business is. I remember when I was first looking at my first business name, which is what mine's registered as Shifting Visions, is spending, you know, a whole Sunday with family going through brand name after name after name and just trying to hone something that resonated with you. And I suppose that's something that's really crucial, with not just having something that's going to resonate with clients but with you as a person as well.
Absolutely. You need to feel really comfortable with your business name because it's something that you're going to have for a very long time, hopefully. Mm. That's the plan.
Mm.
I don't actually help people do that, but, you know, I can advise on it and give you some feedback if you're looking for some feedback about different names. The other thing is finding something that's unique. It's really difficult now. Mm. And if you do find something unique and it's pretty cool, like mine, Sassy Branding's pretty cool, trademark it.
That's an important factor as well, isn't it, is ensuring that it's trademarked. I must admit that the brand I use now, Speech Perfect, did come after a few wines at a wedding and I was listening to some really bad speeches. That one just popped in the head. It was much. So sometimes I think maybe the things that just come to you are the ones that connect and resonate as well.
Often, you know, when you labour over something, it becomes really difficult sometimes. Mm. But, yeah, things just pop up. And as mine did when I was looking for mine, I actually had a different business name when I started. And my tagline was intuitive graphic design for sassy entrepreneurs. And when I wanted to change it, a friend of mine said, well, what's wrong with sassy branding? And I went, oh, that's amazing.
Mm.
And I looked it up straight away and I trademarked it straight away and I just grabbed it and got the domain and everything. And when those things fall into place, you know you're on the right track.
Absolutely. So, look, enlighten me. Okay. What is a visual brand?
All right. A visual brand is all the graphics. So it's everything that people see with their eyes about your brand. So that includes every single thing you can think of that people look at to see who you are. So it's the advertising that you do, if you do that in magazines and so forth. It's your car. Mm-hmm. It's your business cards, your Facebook page, your website, brochures, flyers, banners, templates, workbooks, every single thing, your invoices, everything you send out from your business, whether it's promotional or conversational emails, is branded. And it's what people actually see.
Yeah, okay. So, and I know you get, look, we know some brands are very visual, and we've all played trivia games where you've identified a company just from the logo or the brand. So that's how powerful they can be, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. But it's not just a logo.
No.
It's way more than that. Yeah.
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 Expand on that, please.
Well, a brand begins with a logo. So when I work with someone, that's what we create first based on a whole lot of information. But then we expand into the colours and the backgrounds. For instance, you know, now we've all got a website. We can use all sorts of images and graphics and backgrounds and colours and gradients and effects and textures and stuff like that on our backgrounds in our websites. And if you choose something that is unique and blend it with your fonts and your logo and your photograph, that then creates your brand. So if you use that same background or that same image or that same blend of colours on everything, then you get that beautiful consistency and that strength and the power. So it's a combination of all of those things put together.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And so why is it so important?
It's important because it's very noisy out there now. And I work with female speakers, authors, and entrepreneurs. So most of us who are in that arena are online. We're on LinkedIn, we're on Facebook, we're promoting, we're speaking, we're writing our books, and we're networking. So it's important to create that consistency so that no matter where you're seen, you look the same and you're creating a really strong profile. Because, well, for me, and I guess a lot of the people I work with, it's about you. It's your service. And you're the person behind the brand. So you have to have that consistency so that you're recognized everywhere. If you keep changing it and chopping it round and doing different things, then there's no consistency. Therefore, you don't develop trust and people don't know who you are.
Hmm. So, I understand. Yeah. And look, I've heard tips before, you know, make sure that you've got at least your photograph on your business card or your photograph in a lot of your branding and your material. How important is that?
It's really, really important if again, the business is about you. So in my case, it's important because people talk to me, they connect with me, and it would be for you too, Janine, because it's a one-on-one service that we do.
Yes.
And we work with people in person or online. But that facial connection is really important because as humans, that's how we connect. And that's where video is really great too, to use online. So people get a feel for you. If you have a product or something that isn't driven by a person, then it's important to have pictures of your product more so than your face.
Okay.
So it depends on your kind of business.
So if we're selling health food.
Yeah.
We would have photos of healthy people.
Exactly.
Random.
Yes.
Or the actual product of the
product.
The food product.
Yes. Yeah. Unless you want to create a persona.
That's another thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Behind the brand and become a personality that stands behind the brand, so to speak, then, yeah, focus on the product.
So, and again, if we're doing a massage therapist, they're just something within there that creates that feeling of tranquility in the photo.
Yeah.
We'd resonate with that, wouldn't we, rather than necessarily having to have a photo of somebody being massaged? Or would...
Yeah, definitely. But I think, and then again, it depends. Say you are a massage therapist, then images of massaging and, you know, candles and those beautiful tranquil photos are really important and powerful on your websites and so forth. But then on your about page, have a picture of yourself.
Mm.
Or on your business card, have your picture of yourself. So you don't have to put your photo every single where, but have it in some spots so that people can find you, because people want to know who you are.
I had that discussion with my web guys this week and going, okay, that's enough photos of me. I'm sure we can find some other really good ones as well. I get it on all the about me and the video as you go on the website and everything, which is important. But
stock photos have their place.
Yes, definitely. And also I've threatened all my people with testimonials. We've got videos now, so they're all like, their photos are right. They look better than mine, so, which is good.
But speaking of photos, make sure you get really good ones.
Mm.
You know, get beautiful, professional photos. Invest in that. Definitely worth doing.
I see that a lot of difference, you know, just in social media, that the difference in the quality of photos and also they're being relevant. They're not 10 years old.
Exactly.
You're surprised down the track.
Yes, yes. And someone hands you a business card and you look at them and go, is that you, really?
That's the other thing too, that you're not too gorgeous on the business card and they meet you in real life and they do it.
That
double take as well. So they're living up to that standard, isn't it?
It's definitely
part of your brand
is.
Too, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's a personal branding and if you're the person behind the business, absolutely, it's really, really important. But, you know, and you don't have to be all glammed up.
Mm.
You just have to be natural, but just get good quality photos.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lady that has contributed to these podcasts as well, Moana Robinson from Beauty Glow. And she always, it's all about your style. And she just always looks stunning. Doesn't, you know, she just turn up to, you know, an outdoor barbecue and just still looks stunning. Amazing. But she's looking, she's her brand
she
everywhere
is.
She goes.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I know Moana. Yeah. Mm. I've known her for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And she is. She's beautiful.
Yeah.
And always looks stunning.
Yeah. It's quite amazing, isn't
it?
So take me to through the steps of what would happen if we were developing a brand for me.
Okay. So, the first thing that you would do is probably call me or email me because you've seen me online or somewhere like that, or we've connected at a network event. And we'll have maybe a 10-minute conversation about how I can help. Then the next stage is that I will email through my price list or a quote, depending on what you're looking for. And I will also email through the SASSY branding process, which explains the process and the payment procedures and time frames and things like that, so that we're all upfront with what's expected.
You know what? I like that because I like to know when I'm paying for something that there's no surprises and we're all both on this, have the same expectations for what we want out of it. So,
yeah, I think that's really important. So I have fixed prices for everything. And then the other thing I send through is my client brief, which is a Word document form that I would ask you to fill in. And that asks questions like not only your name and address and business name and so forth, but who's your ideal client? Why do you do what you do? Is this business a passion? Where are you getting your clients from? How are you marketing it? Or do you, you know, foresee to do that? And then I go into questions like, you know, the colours that you like and, the kind of, I just try to get a feel for your style of business. Is it casual? Is it classy? Is it corporate? You know, just to get a feel for what you're looking for and what you want to create. Once that's filled in and I've sent a quote and you've said, yes, let's go ahead, then we'll have an hour-long consult to follow up. And that can be either face-to-face or by Skype or phone, and I'll ask you more questions and I'll quiz you. So I actually go quite deep, and I want to know why you do what you do, and I want to know who you do it for, and I want to know how you do it, pretty much like this interview, really. <There we go. laughs> And that gives me a lot of clarity around who you are and what you're trying to create. Once that consult's done, then I get to work and I start creating concepts. And I put together 3 or 4 logo concepts. That takes 5 days or so. I have a team. So I've got a couple of contractors I work with who are Australian girls, and they're both brilliant designers. So often I will outsource to them and get them to contribute, because it's always great to get other people.
And look, I'm glad you mentioned, sorry to interrupt there, but no, I'm glad you mentioned, Australian girls doing the designing. Look, and I, like most people, have used overseas designers, and they're inexpensive.
Yes.
But this explanation of the processes, I can see you're shaking your head. I know it does take a lot longer to get that. Yeah. And it's done as a quick response, as opposed to what you're talking about. It's not just designing a logo. It's that whole who you are, yeah, and what you're offering and where you want to go with it, which, yeah, is a lot more in depth. And it doesn't happen if you get an overseas designer.
No, I've actually tried that too, and it's just so unsatisfactory and ends up taking a whole lot more time than it needs to. So for me, I'm much better to invest more money into people who know what they're doing, who I can communicate with, so that they're awesome.
Mm.
And then we get to have, different perspectives and different concepts. So I send through 3 or 4 concepts to you, and ask for your feedback. So you'll say, well, I really like the colours in 1 and the font in 2, and I don't like how that sits there, and can we move that there, and so forth. And we'll keep going back and forward until we get it right.
Mm.
And once the logo's created and finished,
then... And you obviously offer professional insight into
thin
comments as well, because I know we have to like it, the customer has to like it, but you'll know what things work.
Yes, and absolutely.
And what doesn't as well.
It's all based on years of experience and understanding your client, which is important. And then once that's done, I'll ask you to pay the balance for the logo component, and then I will send you all the files that you'll ever need. So you'll get your EPS, PDF, AI, JPEG, PNG and so forth for use in print and online, and then you've got your whole suite of files online. And then normally – after that's done, we'll go through and do business cards and website and so forth. So, yeah, and that process just happens over and over again for each component. Yeah.
And just thinking of another point that I've used, because I've added information onto my cards, so I changed a website address or something like that, because I've dealt with the same designer here for a number of years that you know how to get in touch with.
Yeah.
I've been able to, have something changed quite quickly and everything come back to me in all of the required documentation and files that I've needed, and it's just been done in a flash.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's really important to have someone that you know is going to be around that you can find in a couple of years' time again to upgrade or change details. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think that's why I love doing what I do and working with my clients, because it's a long-term relationship thing. It's not just a slap bang, here you go, see you later thing. I really like that long-term relationship because, as you say, 6 months, 12 months down the track, you can call me and go, let's change this or let's update that. And it's easy because I already know who you are and what you do.
I know. Look, trust me, I've been there, done that, and I just know how much simpler it is to be able to do it.
Yeah.
So, and that's a little bit what we were just talking about too, so the benefit of working with you as opposed to having a logo designed online.
Yeah.
Look, they are cheaper.
Oh, I know. You can get them for $5.
Yeah.
But you can get clip art for $5 too, and that's pretty much all you get.
Yes.
People do it all the time, and I think until you actually get serious about your business, And, you know, people might do that for 2 or 3 years when they first go into business because it is a cheap option and we don't have a lot of money to spend. But and most of my clients, this is what's happened. They've done that for a couple of years. They've done the Vistaprint thing and they're sick of looking cheap.
Mm.
And they want to – now they're ready to step up and create something really strong, you know, that's going to make them more noticeable and more professional looking. So most people that come to me have been, you know, yeah, banging around and getting it right for a couple of years.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where we're talking earlier about that rebranding when you get to that stage. It's probably – is that probably where you're finding most of your clients coming through? You know, they've been doing the cheaper option and then they go and get the good photos done.
Yeah.
And realise the value of having the good photos.
Exactly.
And it's just making that financial commitment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah it is. And it's a massive investment in your business.
Mm.
You know, it's as important as investing in a bookkeeper or an accountant. You've got to get it right to be successful.
And that's the point, isn't it, that they may have knocked around for a couple of years without developing that consistency, identification. And what we're all trying to do in our own business is build profile.
Exactly, yeah.
And build that consistent profile.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a catch-22 type of situation. Is haven't got the money to invest in doing it right, but I'll do it wrong for a couple of years and then until I need to do it right. But I didn't get the business because I didn't do it right.
Yeah, I know. It's a tough one.
It is. It is. And it's interesting. And I've brought this up in other podcasts before. So for those that have heard it or haven't heard it, it was something that was said to me recently is that if, particularly women, we don't necessarily invest in ourselves enough. Mm. And asked a gentleman the other night if he felt self-doubt in his business. And he said, yes, he did. And then the woman asked him, so what do you do about it? And he said, I go and invest in more information. I get more informed. I get better at what I do. Now, if you asked a woman, and I'm not, you know, looking, not sexism here at all, but it's my experience with the clients I've worked with, that if you ask most women in their own business, if you have self-doubt, what do you do? Very few would say, oh, I just go and get more information so I know what I'm doing. So that's the same thing with this, isn't it? And if you don't feel that you're valuable enough to invest in, then neither are your customers.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's where it comes across, this whole whatever aspect we're looking at within our business, and branding is one of the first components of it.
Mm.
If we don't value ourselves enough to invest in it, how can we expect others to?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And it comes down to confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having the confidence to actually put your face out there and be loud and proud about what you do.
Mm.
And that's why I love doing what I do, because I help women to step up and own it.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
And for me, even when I first went into business, I was terrified of doing that, you know, terrified of walking into a networking event and going, well, you know, this is me and this is what I do. And this is how I can help you. And you just feel so insignificant and insecure about it all. But you've just got to get over that and move on and be brave.
Yeah, and overcome the fear of, you know, that fear of self-judgment, the fear of failure, and the fear of who the hell do you think you are?
Yeah, that's big, isn't it?
It is. But being able to do that and have the self-confidence to step up, and especially with my brand, this is who I am. This is my brand. It's going to represent me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is once you get that, that is such a powerful space to be in. And then you can own it. As you know, I coach in sales and selling. And I was listening to something this morning, actually, and they're talking about when people say, what do you do? People often in sales sort of go around the bush. They don't just say, oh, I'm a sales rep or I'm a sales person.
Yeah.
Because it has a bit of a connotation. But once you own it, my God, do you get good at it?
Yes. Well, you have to, don't you?
You do. And by the way, every person in business, every person in life is a salesperson. It just depends what level you're working on.
Yeah.
The best salesperson mother will convince their children not to take drugs. We're salespeople. Just get over it.
Yeah.
And own it. But whatever you're doing, whatever your business is, the point of this is, own it. Mm-hmm. And when you own it, you brand it. And you take possession of it, it becomes yours. You walk into a networking event with that confidence. This is me. This is who I am.
Yeah.
And the more it's reinforced with all of your media, whether on your website or your business card or on your car, mm-hmm. the more you own it, don't you?
Absolutely.
How do you feel driving around the car with sassy branding on it?
I feel pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
It's really nice. And it's funny. I mean, you know, some people may already have their cars done, but you kind of forget. And then you look over when you're parked at the lights or somewhere and there's someone looking at your car and you think, what? Oh, that's right. But it's funny, whenever I stop at lights, you know, if I'm with my father or someone like that, and they go, oh, you know, red light. And I go, this is an excellent advertising opportunity.
Yeah.
We'll just sit here. It's all good. You know. No, it's a fabulous way to market yourself.
Yeah.
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 Yep.
It's I totally agree. It's good. I'd have to convince.
I'll have to put a photo of my car on my website now.
Absolutely. I think it's really cool because, you know, anyone hearing this as well, seeing the sassy branding, they'll be able to go up and say, hey, Jeannie.
Yeah, that's it. And by the way, it doesn't have to be a super duper fancy car either.
Mm.
You know, mine's just a Mazda. Mm. But I always dreamt of a red Mazda when I started my business, and I visualized that for a year, and then I finally did it, and it was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you, it looks good. And something that I've been working on at the moment that's on the back burner, and depending when you listen to this is whether it's relevant or not in time frame, but I'm working as a campaign manager for a mayoral candidate for the city of Logan, and he's branded his car. His two cars with his.
Yeah,
his,
I saw it. Down
you
there.
Saw it?
Yeah.
Now, isn't that powerful? Yeah. And people, shopping centres, he doesn't have to put up banners. He just drives the two cars around the city and getting his face out there because he's not as well known as some of the councillors and other people. So it's very powerful.
Extremely.
And he's had people come up and stand on the car and say, okay, so tell me why.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's working.
It works. It works a treat. Yeah. I actually tried to talk my daughter into putting my brand on her car.
Oh, that would have gone
over. She said no.
Maybe if you pay the rego or something, so it might That's be right. a little carrot at the end of that request.
Yeah, even that didn't work.
Okay, so I know we're going to ask about the number one tip about rebranding, but I know you've got some other tips just in general. So can you share those with us, please? Some takeaways.
Takeaways. Okay, well, will we start with one and
yes, okay. Start with one and then we go to two.
All right.
And then three will come after. That'll work really well.
Okay, that sounds logical to me. All right, I think my first tip, if you're branding or rebranding, you need to be really clear about what you're doing.
Meaning?
What service are you offering? How are you different to everyone else that's doing what you do? So get really clear about your message, your tagline, which is going to sit under your logo or on your business card, and be very specific about the services that you're going to offer or the products.
So your tagline is?
Intuitive graphic design for sassy entrepreneurs.
It tells you exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And mine is, for Speech Perfect, your words made memorable.
Beautiful. Yeah.
So both of those. I got a tick. Thank you. Yes.
Well, you know, often we'll look at a logo and we don't know what it is. We don't know what that business does or is because it doesn't make sense.
I've collected a lot of business cards over the years, exactly the same thing.
And that's okay because it is hard to find a unique business name these days. But if you can add a tagline that gives a really short, sharp description of your business, that's going to give people clarity and make it a whole lot easier for people when they see it to understand what you do.
And that's definitely makes a lot of sense. And again, you own it, don't you?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah. That's so cool. Second tip?
Second tip just went right out of my head. No, that's it. should know this off by heart. Know who your client is. And I know lots of marketers say the same thing, but it's really vital before you do your branding, before you start anything, you've got to know who you're selling to. And the way to do that is to say, ask yourself, what's the problem I'm solving? How is what I do going to help someone and who's it going to help? So be very clear about who that person is and drill right down until you've actually got a person. Give that person a name. Give them a lifestyle. And then all your marketing and all your promoting and all your branding is directed at that person.
Mm-hmm.
So make it very personalized so that, you know, and people fear this a lot. They get scared because you say, who's your target market? They'll say everyone. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, women, middle-aged women. No, we need to be more specific because you're solving a problem.
Mm.
That person's got a problem. Who is she or he?
Mm.
So get really clear about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that takes a bit of work sometimes to do that. And but to get that right,
yeah.
Especially when you're going to invest a considerable amount of money into getting that brand done,
mm-hmm.
that's the, you know, right at the front, isn't it, is to understand who your market is and what they want to hear and what they need to know and how you're going to help them.
Yeah, definitely. So that's really, really important.
Mm. Yeah. And tip number three?
Tip number three is work out how you're going to market yourself. You know, where is that person that you want to connect with? Are they on social media? Are they hanging around on Facebook? Or are they at networking events? And then strategically plan how you're going to get in touch with them and how you're going to promote yourself to them. And then that comes back to your branding, because when you know that, then you'll know what you need to have designed or developed. So if it's Facebook and social media or Pinterest or something, you'll need to get all your graphics right for that and a website. We probably need a website for pretty much everything now. If you're out networking in person, then you'll need really cool business cards and brochures and flyers and things like that that you can physically hand out. So, you know, if you're not sure, then you really need to work out how you're going to market yourself, because that's a big investment of time and money.
Mm, certainly is. Yeah. And, you know, I'm just trying to think of the statistics, which I do know off my head, but we do need to have 11 contacts with 7 different types of media or different types of or 4 different places. So, you know, to build those connections up. So, yeah. Again, identification.
Yeah. It's that recognition and that's that repetitive thing that you keep seeing everywhere.
Yeah.
Online, offline, on the highway, wherever it is.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, is there anything else, any other takeaways that we can add that, you know, somebody's considering looking at rebranding? Again, we've talked about they have to decide on who their client base is, what sort of look they want to have, and what was the third one again? How they're going to do it.
Yeah.
So anything else within that we can add as well?
I think you need to get a plan in place and work out, as I said, you know, when you work out who you're connecting with and where and how you're connecting, then get a plan in place for all the things that you're going to need to do that. So like a business plan, you know, create a plan. So, yes, I need a logo, and then a month later I'll get this done or that done or whatever it is, pull up banners and, you know, flyers and online promotions and that kind of stuff. So it's actually about planning your branding. And, you know, as we go along and as we grow, our businesses just change. They keep changing. It's just what happens. It's how life is. It's the only thing you can probably guarantee is change. And so you need to be a little bit flexible about that and don't get too fixated on what you've created. So if you have a relationship with a designer, then, you know, 2 years down the track, you can change your tagline or you can alter your colours a little bit or you can update your photos. And it means that you stay open to that and receptive to that, listen to what your people want and, you know, fill that need.
Mm.
Yeah.
That, and again, that makes a lot of sense. So how can people get in touch with you?
They can find me on my website, which is sassybranding.com, or on Facebook, Sassy Branding and Design, or just under my name, Jeannie Treloar, and that's spelled J-E-A-N-N-E, Treloar, T-R-E-L-O-A-R. Or you can email me, Jeannie@sassybranding.com, or ring me up.
Of course. And all the phone number will be on the website anyway.
Everything's on the website.
Yeah. And there'll be a photo of the car on the website too, I imagine.
Yes, I will do that. I must wash it first.
That's a good idea, isn't it? Look, I really appreciate your time today. Lots of really good advice.
Thank you. And
you know, what these podcasts entail is the purpose is for the listeners to be able to start thinking about things that they may not have considered before and give them points of reference and obviously experts to go to as well. So thank you, Jeannie.
My pleasure. And
thank you for contributing to the success secrets of female masterminds.
Thank you for inviting me. It's been lovely. Thanks, Janine.
Welcome.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.